I'm through with standing in line. The clubs I'll never get in. It's like the bottom of the ninth, and I'm never gonna win this. Life hasn't turned out quite the way I want it to be.
Tell me what you want.
I want a
Cleveland, Cleveland, we broke a record tonight. This is how we end it. This, Team Bring It, is your anthem. But The Rock ain't singing alone. No, 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 no. 18,000 strong, we're all singing this song. We're all singing this song, and it goes like this. Make a big noise, playing with your best, looking missing balls every single day. Slips off your face, big disgrace, kicking your ass all over the place.
Cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in hilltop buses, driving 15 cars.
We're on the road to WrestleMania, and you're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. And this is SRL on a Monday night.
Just like the man says, SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan, joined alongside James McDonald. James, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's Monday night. We're in the studios. The mics are on. I'm feeling good, man.
Wow. Now, the million-dollar question that the millions of our fans are wondering.
And millions?
Are you a rock star?
Not like The Rock, apparently.
I have a question. Would you rather live the lifestyle of a rock star, or would you rather live the lifestyle of a professional wakeboarder?
Really?
And before you answer that, let me remind you, professional wakeboarders are on tour just like rock stars, but they're sitting on lakes in boats with girls in bikinis. Really, they're only performing for maybe about 5 minutes at the most, where rock stars have to go out and perform on stage for a couple hours. I mean, I'm just saying.
I don't know. I think I'd probably rather still be a rock star.
Really? I've asked that question to numerous people, and they all say rock star, but I'm going with professional wakeboarder.
Wow, there you go. It's,
because the girls' clothes are already half off.
Half the work is done for you.
I think the life of a wakeboarder is better than a rock star. Regardless, tonight, The Rock tried to be a rock star. How are you feeling about that?
I've got kind of a mixed feelings. Just coming off of watching the show, I got kind of a mixed feelings. I like the stuff he did on the guitar. The stuff that we're going to talk about later, not so hot about. We'll get into that.
So this was Monday Night Raw from Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, or as they like to refer to as the Q.
Oh, I thought they were saying the Cube. And I'm trying to look at the arena, and I'm going, it doesn't look very...
No, it's
square to me.
Q stands for Quicken Loans Arena.
I see now, okay.
Now, before we get into this Monday Night Raw from Cleveland, Ohio, let me remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or if you're hip and cool to the scene on Twitter.
Trendy, I believe, is the word.
At SRL Radio.
Don't forget about our email on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. You know, send us an email. Tell us what you thought of Raw, and... heck, there might even be some Smack Talk Radio Live merchandise coming your way.
Wow, look at you. Just giving it away.
Well, that's what we have it for, isn't it?
I guess so. Well, I need, like, multiple hats for myself, because when one when one gets ruined, you know, then I can go on to the next one. We've only given away one hat so far. We got many to give away, but for some reason, no one really wants one, I guess.
Well, I guess because they haven't seen you out in public with it yet.
That's right. All right, James. Let's get into Monday Night Raw tonight. You know, we are only 20 nights away from WrestleMania in Miami.
That's shorter for you, isn't it?
Well, yes, I'm actually leaving in exactly 13 days.
Wow.
To head down to Miami, Florida. My girlfriend and I are doing a cruise first down to the Bahamas, and then we're coming back and going to work on South Beach with you and our friend Rob, of course.
Should be. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Did you just swear there?
No, I did not just swear. Jeez.
Sounded like you swore there.
Anyways.
All right. So Monday Night Raw tonight, it opens with Jerry Lawler standing in the middle of the ring, who announces a first ever rock and rap with John Cena and The Rock tonight. And he says that tonight, each man will have a chance to express themselves in their own way. And it's at this point that John Cena's old entrance music, Word Life, hits. And out walks John Cena wearing his old getup, you know, including the blue and red Cleveland basketball jersey. He's got the chains around his neck. And Cole announces him as the Doctor of Thugonomics, and he's in the house. What were you thinking when you saw this?
I thought it was kind of interesting, him coming out to Word Life and wearing the Cavaliers jersey and the old Doctor of Thugonomics look. So
this is what they would consider vintage John Cena.
Yeah, this is the gimmick that he started out with way back in, what, 03? Late 03, early 04?
How successful was this gimmick for him? It's not like this is Hulk Hogan's red and yellow.
But you know what? I think it's the raps that he did that really kind of elevated him up to that level where they were comfortable with making him a main eventer. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of excited to see him do another rap tonight.
All right. Well, when John Cena finally does get into the ring, he doesn't even waste any time. He starts, like, the first sentence out of his mouth is a rap, or a rhyme, I should say. And he starts rapping about things like LeBron James and how The Rock took his talents to South Beach, like LeBron James. And I'm not going to get into the whole rap here, James, but he says, you know, after WrestleMania, The Rock, you won't need your movies. You'll need surgery just like you need it on your boobies. And then he goes out and calls out The Rock and Dwayne Johnson, and he's saying, you know, if those two are the same person, I think you're both jack-offs. At one point, Cena calls him Miami Fried Chicken Shit.
There was an unusually long censor, don't you think, for that?
Well, that's because it's live and the networks don't want to take any chances. Everything's on a delay, so to, you know, avoid...
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah, so to avoid any sort of possible audible coming through of that swear word, they would just solid 15 seconds of it.
Oh, wow, yeah, because I thought that seemed kind of odd. Mm-hmm. But no, I really enjoy this. I've always enjoyed Cena's raps, and you know what? I think out of everybody tonight, I think Cena was the only one who cut a promo and didn't stumble on his words.
Yes, that is very interesting. That being said, though, you know, he only had to come out, cut a rap song, and then that was it for the night.
Yeah, so what did you think about Cena coming out and being first, his rap segment being first?
Well, I would have been okay with it if he had come out again at the end of the show, but they basically gave Cena little to no time to get his rap song up. You know, out there, and they gave The Rock like a solid 15-20 minutes.
I think they wanted to deliberately give The Rock the last word tonight just to kind of pull his face up a little bit in this program.
Yes.
I guess for a better way of putting it.
I totally agree. They wanted to accomplish The Rock getting over this week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not he did that, I don't know. We'll get there. John Cena during this rap also says stuff, you know, like saying, I think he ends it by saying, I'm going to beat your ass at WrestleMania and put my nuts dead on your face.
And he actually pulled out a bag of the little munchies nuts. I thought that was kind of funny.
You know, you were laughing hysterically.
Oh, it was great. I love Cena's raps. I do.
The one thing about this interaction with The Rock and John Cena is they have completely forgot about the two letters PG.
Oh, and I like that, you know, and I think a lot of other people like that too. That to me is making this program really exciting.
Now, do you think the FCC would make the WWE change their TV rating, or at least give them a little bit of flack for straying away from the PG rated content here?
I you know what? I honestly don't know how that works. I couldn't say.
You would think, though.
Maybe, yeah, you would think.
I mean, if one person complained that the PG rated show that they were watching tonight was not PG rated, the WWE could have a bit of a problem on their hands.
Really?
Absolutely. Think about it. If you're a parent,
I guess you're right.
Parent and, you know, you're tuning in to watch a PG show, that's supposed to be rated for all audiences, right? Well, a little bit older than kids, I think, is what they market it as. They don't want kids really watching a PG show.
I'd say it's kind of like PG-13. If anything, it's one step above PG. It's not...
Yeah,
it's,
rated G is considered general for all audiences, right? Kids, adults, whatever. But PG, I think, is a bit of a... I think around 8 years old is where they start to say.
Yeah, and I think with what Rock and Cena are doing now, it'd be a PG-13 rating at most, really.
Mm-hmm. But if you are, let's say you are the mother of an 8-year-old kid, are you a little ticked off?
Probably a little bit, especially if my kid's like an ardent Cena follower and he's, you know, dropping the SH bomb, right?
So when they write the email, when the mother writes the email to the FCC complaining that this isn't PG-rated content, do you think that the answer that comes back from the FCC is, hey, lady, it's WrestleMania? No?
I don't know. I honestly don't know how they would react in that situation, but that is a good question. I will give that to you. That is a good question.
All right, so after John Cena says he's going to put his nuts in The Rock's face, that's it. That's the whole wrap-off from John Cena. It doesn't last very long.
No, it was only about, what, 2-3 minutes?
And
actually, probably a little
you
longer.
Are extremely happy with what you saw from John Cena tonight?
No, I liked it. It was well thought out. It was well put together. And
could it have been better?
It probably could have been a little bit better, but then again, we're going right back to the whole ratings thing and what you can and can't say on a PG show.
Did you expect longer from John Cena?
A little bit longer, but I'm happy with what he came out and delivered.
Are you surprised that it started the show off with no follow-up from The Rock until at the end of the show?
A little bit, but now that looking back on it in retrospect, I can kind of see why they're doing it. Again, because they want to save The Rock's face a little bit, right, and build, I guess, keep his name, I don't know, fresh, good, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, with the fans going forward, heading into the final weeks of WrestleMania here. So,
Once John Cena leaves the ring, we are shown a graphic hyping up The Rock concert that is coming up later tonight. And then also HBK, Shawn Michaels, he's going face-to-face with The Undertaker as well tonight. And now after this, Vicky Guerrero interrupts everyone. She yells, "Excuse me." And she says daylight savings should be illegal because the whole world would be deprived of one whole hour of the presence of this man. It's at this point that Dolph Ziggler's music hits and he walks out. And not soon after, Sheamus's music hits, the 2012 Royal Rumble winner. And he walks out to the ring. This would set up Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, this match would start out with Ziggler showing off, kind of evading the lockup of, attempts by Sheamus. But Sheamus would eventually take control. And then there'd be one point where he'd try to go for the chest clubs that he does every match. But Ziggler would
those
block.
Are devastating, aren't they?
That, actually, I would not like to take those. Definitely not. But anyways, he would block that move and he'd jump outside. And then they would cut to a commercial break. And then they'd come back from the commercial break. And Sheamus and Ziggler were going back and forth, but eventually, again, Sheamus would get control. Now, there's one point in the match here where Sheamus would actually reverse a hip toss, tossing Ziggler to the outside, and I thought that was kind of impressive, but it was at this point where Ziggler would actually go underneath the ring. He'd, like, cut corners underneath the ring, come out the other side. Sheamus was being distracted by Vicky Guerrero at that point, so Ziggler would get in the quick drop kick from behind, and then he would toss Sheamus into the announce table, and he would kind of hit at a weird angle. And for the rest of the match, you'd see this visible red welt on his back from where he hit the announce table.
On Sheamus's back.
On Sheamus's back, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
It looked kind of devastating. Eventually, Ziggler would gain control of some punches. He'd hit a neck breaker for a two count. Ziggler would then hit a sleeper hold rest spot onto Sheamus, and it was at this point where I'm doing a double take because they would actually cut in the middle of the match up to the skybox where Daniel Bryan is sitting there with Josh Matthews and his girlfriend AJ. And yeah. Josh Matthews is cutting an interview with Daniel Bryan right there in the middle of the match.
Like Josh Matthews actually asks Daniel Bryan, he says, "You're obviously scouting Sheamus tonight. But I have to ask, some members of the audience thought it was rude last week how you talked to AJ." And Brian kind of, he's offended by that.
Told her to shut up.
Yeah, that's what he's referring to. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Bryan actually looks at AJ and asks if he was rude to her. She reluctantly says, no, he wasn't. And then Daniel Bryan reaffirms Josh Matthews that they love each other. And then we throw it back to the match.
Yeah, it was weird. And we come back to the match and they're still in the sleeper hold rest spot. So it was basically, I don't know, do the sleeper spot while we cut to the interview. And then as soon as they cut back, Sheamus would break out of the sleeper hold. He'd kind of gain control a little bit. He'd then try to go for the Celtic Cross powerbomb, but Ziggler would block that, and he would actually reverse it into a backslide pin. And this is where the match kind of started to break down, I think, a little bit. Because after the backslide pin, he would pick Ziggler up, and he'd have him draped across his back, and he just flipped him around to the front and just kind of like tossed him awkwardly down to the ground.
And this is where I referenced the fact that I think they were doing an on-the-fly finish, because the original finish, I think got a little botched.
I have to agree with you there. I think that right there, the reversal of the backslide, I think was probably supposed to be the finish of the match, but I don't know, I guess they screwed it up. Ziggler kicked out. So yeah, it did look like they were kind of flying at the end here. Eventually, Ziggler would hit a Famaster on Sheamus for a two count, but then after they both got up, Sheamus would then hit a broke kick out of nowhere for the clean win on Ziggler, and I think the match was about 10 minutes long. So
no. One issue I have with this match is how they just completely strayed away from the match altogether, went up to the skybox to do an interview with Daniel Bryan. why can you not do double boxes where we can still watch the match?
That would have been a perfect idea, you know, but...
That's just disrespectful to the two guys in the ring, don't you think?
And especially when one of them's your Royal Rumble winner.
I know.
It just, like, does it not mean nothing to be the Royal Rumble winner anymore?
And really, the point of the interview at the Sky, or in the Skybox, sorry,
was nothing, really.
Was nothing related to Sheamus. It was had to do with Daniel Bryan and his girlfriend AJ.
I have a feeling that AJ is going to play into the finish of their match at WrestleMania.
Well, you would naturally assume that. But just more importantly, how you can just take all attention away from your 2012 Royal Rumble winner.
It's disgraceful. I did not like that whatsoever. Like I said, I had to do a double take. I'm sitting there going, did they actually just cut away from the match in the middle of it?
That's got to be the first time we've ever seen that.
I can't remember another time. I'm sure there has been another time they've done it.
I mean, just, unless they go backstage. I can't remember off the top of my head here. Unless they cut a camera to go backstage where something's going down during the match. But this is almost like a scheduled interview. And they're just deciding that, okay, we're going to go away from the match at this point of the show, no matter what's going on in the ring, and we're going to conduct this interview with Daniel Bryan asking if he thought it was rude, or if he thought he was rude to his girlfriend last week.
God. I know. This has got to be the worst built-up program. Even Kane and Randy Orton is a better build-up than this stupid program. Like, I mean, I know it's going to be a great match, but honestly, the way it's going, I'm starting to agree with you. I can see this one opening up the card.
I'm telling you, it will open up WrestleMania.
That's such a shame.
Sheamus taking it, though.
Sheamus.
With the brogue kick.
Oh, yeah. Sheamus will win. Mm-hmm. But still, having it being opening match, like, I don't know.
The continued burial of Dolph Ziggler as well.
Yeah.
In retrospect.
Yeah, losing cleanly. So, again, he doesn't have anything for WrestleMania. I think he's obviously going to be in this six-man tag match, which we'll talk about in a little bit later here. But
all right.
That's where I think he's going.
Now, after the match was over, we see a graphic promoting the new WWE.com website. If you haven't seen it yet, you might want to head over there and take a look.
Yeah, it looks impressive.
And they also talk about how the board of directors announced earlier today on the website that there will be a 12-man tag team match at WrestleMania, where one GM will eventually... Well, the winner of this 12-man tag match, the winning GM, will run Monday Night Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania.
Right. And I honestly...
I could have said that a little better.
That's all right. But I think they got your drift. But anyways, I think John Laurinaitis is going to win that match.
Yeah.
And take sole control.
So six men on John Laurinaitis' team.
And six men on Teddy Long's team. So it's they're throwing everybody that was supposed to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match that got tossed out.
Yeah.
I guess they're now tossing them into this match.
And this kind of leads us into the next segment for Monday Night Raw, because after we come back from commercial, John Laurinaitis is introduced, and he walks to the commentator's table, and Justin Roberts announces a mixed tag team match, and that the U.S. champion Santino Marella and Oksana, they're going to come out and represent Teddy Long's team for WrestleMania, but they're also coming out tonight to wrestle this mixed-gender tag team match. It's announced that Santino Marella is the
captain
of Teddy Long's team.
Of Team Teddy Long, yep.
And at this point, David Otunga's music hits. He walks out.
What do you think of him posing up at the top of the ramp? Do you see him posing and flexing his muscles?
I'm actually a fan of David Otunga.
Yeah,
he's coming around on me. I like what he's doing.
I honestly don't mind David Otunga either.
This is putting him into the spotlight a little bit, and I think they should run with it.
I think he just needs to get more ring time.
Mm-hmm.
Get better inside the ring, and why not?
But what's announced here is that David Otunga is going to be the captain of John Laurinaitis' team. So it's going to be 6-on-6, Santino captaining one team, and Otunga captaining the other team. Are you surprised that they've put Santino Marella into this position?
No, I haven't. He's been getting over amazingly this last couple of months. And no, I'm honestly not surprised that Santino is the captain, because he's also Teddy Long's quote-unquote assistant. So, I mean, it just makes sense to put him in that role, right?
Now, what do you think about this 6-on-6 match?
Well, is this... like a first pin wins type thing, or is this an elimination six-man tag?
I would assume it'll be an elimination type match, yeah.
You would think so, where it just goes down to the last two guys or last whatever one guy on either side?
I think so.
You think it'd be elimination? I would hope it'd be elimination. I hope it's not like first pin wins or
first submission wins. That being said, you'll probably see like eliminations happen quite quickly. You know, like I don't think this match isn't going to get more than 15 minutes, I don't think.
Who do you see being on? Well, I guess we should
go forward before we make our team predictions here.
So this, before we get to this intergender tag team match, John Laurinaitis actually interrupts everyone. He grabs a microphone and he says, you know, he is still the general manager of Raw. And tonight, it's not going to be a mixed tag team match, but will be a handicap match, as it will be Santino Marella versus David Otunga and this man. And it's at this point that Mark Henry's music hits. And this would set up Santino versus Otunga and Mark Henry.
Yeah, so what was originally supposed to be an intergender tag match is now a handicap match. And as soon as the bell rings...
Let me just say, I can't stand when they do that.
Or they just switch up the match right on the fly like that.
Mm-hmm. No one should have that much power where they can just inflict a handicap match on anyone.
Apparently the GMs have this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so black and... Or not black and white. It's so gray, I should say.
Yeah.
What level of power these general managers have, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyways, as soon as the bell rings, we'd see, of course, Teddy Long would now make his way down to the ring. And it was at this point that John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long are arguing at the announcer's table. I'm actually watching in the background, and Santino Marella and David Otunga are just standing in the corner doing nothing as the camera's focusing on...
Yes.
What are the people in the arena thinking when they see this?
I know. And that's the power of television, right? Because you can cut out those shots. Occasionally you'll see them, like we saw there. But, you know, you can cut out the people that aren't in the forefront of the spot. You know what I mean? Of what's happening. Those people can just sort of lay off to the side while these people take the reins for a couple minutes.
Now, as a cameraman yourself, would you agree that this guy who was ever doing the camera by the announcer table was doing quite a poor job?
I don't know. It depends. It depends what he's going for. I'd have to see the segment again. I can't.
Well, I mean, number one, he catches the guys in the background standing there doing nothing.
Yeah.
And number two, he totally misses John Laurinaitis getting shoved onto the chair.
Yes, he did miss the shot of Laurinaitis getting shoved.
I don't know. I thought he was doing.
No, that's right. It's almost like he wasn't ready for that one.
No.
No, I did notice that as well.
So.
Well, maybe they have another camera angle of it. I'm sure we'll see it.
It's possible. But anyways, after Laurinaitis was then shoved backwards into his chair at the announcer table, they'd focus back onto the ring. Santino and Otunga are in the ring. Santino would then hit his moveset onto David Otunga, you know, where he does the splits into the arm drag. And then he pulls out the Cobra, goes for the Cobra on David Otunga. But it was at this point that Mark Henry would turn him around and headbutt him, grab him for the World's Strongest Slam, and then quickly pin him. And then shoot, the match was only like a couple minutes long.
And it was after the match that Mark Henry actually grabs Santino and holds him from behind. And David Otunga is seen slapping Marella. And Kofi Kingston, of all people, runs in and tries to make the save. David Otunga quickly cuts that off as Mark Henry delivers the World's Strongest Slam him. And then R-Truth, of all people, runs in and attempts to thwart off Henry and Otunga. Henry ends up throwing him over to David Otunga, who delivers that front hand slam that he likes to do. Yes, and Mark Henry follows that up with a body splash as John Laurinaitis gets in the ring and introduces the newest member to Team Laurinaitis, Mark Henry.
So there's two guys confirmed for Team Laurinaitis. We've got David Otunga and Mark Henry on that side. And I guess confirmed. I guess Oksana's not a confirmed wrestler for the six-man tag.
But
obviously,
what I would assume here is that you would have Santino and Kofi Kingston and R-Truth on the other side
So far for Teddy Long. So let's make some predictions here. Who do you think is going to be on Team Teddy Long? So we've got Kofi. We've got Santino Marella as the captain. And then we've got R-Truth.
Yeah.
So who do you think the other three guys are going to be?
Jeez. I mean, you got...
Who are three mid-card faces that don't have anything for WrestleMania?
Well, I would assume The Miz is going to get thrown in there at some point.
And not on Team Teddy Long, though.
No, but at the same time, he's trying to represent John Laurinaitis, as we find out a little later in the show. So maybe Laurinaitis doesn't want him, and Teddy Long throws him on his team. So it's not far-fetched to see The Miz on Teddy Long's team.
It's possible, because these are my six guys for Team Laurinaitis. You're going to have David Otunga as your captain. You got Mark Henry. You're going to have Ziggler and Swagger on that team, because they've got nothing else to do, and you got to put them on the card somewhere.
Yeah.
So those two guys are going to be on Team Laurinaitis. And then the other two guys are going to be Alberto Del Rio, and they're going to be Christian. So that's going to be your six guys right there for Team Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
So I think maybe you could see The Miz flip over to Team Teddy Long, or they're just going to keep going, and maybe The Miz will just cut some kind of promo at WrestleMania about how he doesn't have a match and how he deserves a match, and maybe they'll have, like, I don't know, a surprise of some sort come out and wrestle The Miz.
And who would you see over on Teddy Long's?
Okay, on Teddy Long, we've got the three guys we just mentioned. Now, the other three guys, that's kind of... I don't know. Who would you
yeah,
put?
Yeah, no, I need to think about that.
Maybe Kali.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Kali. Who else? Who are some other lower card guys from SmackDown?
Well, Cody Rhodes, but he's going to be...
No, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, he's already in the match.
He's facing Big Show.
I don't know. I'm going to have to think that
over. We'll have to think that over, yeah. But...
Seems what a weak talent roster though. When I can't even come up with a couple names,
it's because we don't watch SmackDown all that often. I bet you if we watched SmackDown a little bit more often, we'd come up with a little bit more names. We just.
Do you think Brodus Clay maybe?
That's a good possibility.
Yeah,
Brodus Clay maybe on Team Teddy Long.
I don't know. We'll figure that out. We'll think that one over.
I could see that. Maybe they do an angle where, like, I don't know, maybe they say that John Laurinaitis was keeping Brodus Clay off of TV or was keeping him from wrestling for some reason or other, and that maybe makes Brodus Clay want to
get him out of power. One person I was thinking of was possibly Mick Foley getting his WrestleMania moment. It's possible.
I could see Mick Foley being the surprise that comes out and wrestles The Miz. The Miz could come out, cut a promo about how he's not wrestling anybody, and then maybe Mick Foley comes out.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Mick Foley and The Miz.
It'll be John Cena, The Undertaker, and The Rock.
Yeah.
No. All right. So we then go to a video package after the handicap match that involved Otunga, Santino, and Mark Henry. And this video package is promoting The Miz, who will be appearing on the TV series Psych on USA Network. Sorry. And Wayne Brady is apparently also on the show. And Miz claims... in this video package that he will win an Emmy for his role. And Cole says, The Miz is everywhere. You know, Michael Cole says after the video that The Miz is everywhere, including the TV show Psych.
Jeez.
This is just a complete...
Have you ever seen this show Psych?
No, but...
I've never seen it either.
But this is just a complete contrast of what we're seeing from The Miz in the actual ring. You know, here they are promoting him outside the ring, but inside the ring, he's losing every single match.
Don't you find it interesting that on the show, he's playing pretty much the same character that he's portraying as a wrestler?
It's called versatility.
Yeah.
Michael Cole then lets us know that Maria Manolos had a chance to speak with some of the WWE divas earlier today. She's one of the hosts on that entertainment show called Extra.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to the Bella Twins. She talked to Alicia Fox. And then we then go to Eve Torres, who's backstage at Monday Night Raw, and she's walking in the back, and Zack Ryder catches up to her and says that he really likes Eve, and he's hoping that she feels the same, and said that Eve, you say you like me, but you didn't respond to my messages on Twitter, and he just flat out asks her if she's playing him, and then said, well, Eve responds with, Zack, you're playing yourself, and that she just wants to be friends with benefits.
Oh.
And that they should go to dinner tonight.
Did you see how Zack Ryder was all over that? Yeah. Let's go to dinner tonight. Meet you 6 o'clock.
Now, what do you make of that? What do you make of that?
God, could you make guys look any worse?
Well, that's exactly what she's doing here. Now, a question I have is, what does this mean for Zack Ryder at WrestleMania? Because here you are building this relationship with Eve Torres. You're not seeing him in any matches right now. You're not seeing him in any sort of actual wrestling related segment other than he has a crush on Eve Torres. Like, that's what this is all about. His TV time is it's dedicated to showing that he has a crush on Eve Torres. Now, what does that translate into WrestleMania?
Well, maybe he'll be involved in the monumental Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly match somehow.
Well, it's also very interesting because after she says that we should go to dinner tonight, Zach, Beth Phoenix runs up. And she mouths off something about Maria Manolos and says that maybe she should pay a visit to the entertainment show Extra. But then she follows that up by saying that she admires Eve for wrapping Zack around her pinky finger, kind of just like she could do herself to Zack. And Beth asks Eve if she doesn't mind if she does that as well. And Eve actually cuts her off and says, actually, I would mind.
I tell you, what a 180 for Eve Torres since she turned heel, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, immediately she's a dynamic, interesting character.
Yeah, one of the best heels.
As opposed to just another cookie-cutter, face-smiling diva. I like it.
One of the best heels in the company, but the best-looking heel in the company, I'm going to say.
I won't disagree with you there. She's damn
fine. She could do some serious damage with this gimmick in the WWE if they really ran with it.
I think so. She could be one of the top characters.
The timing is a little off because you are heading into WrestleMania and TV time is limited. But if this was after WrestleMania and you come up with this gimmick for Eve, or you really let Eve go with it and you mm-hmm. give her the TV time, I think this could be a great, great gimmick for her. And it'll be very entertaining to the fans. And it'd be a huge wake-up call to some guys out there.
No, I gotta think. No, I'll definitely agree with you. One other thing I noticed with this whole segment was Beth Phoenix, how she's all dolled up now, wearing a nice dress, wearing makeup, where it was only a few months ago where she was, well, I don't know, she was kind of against the whole Barbie, mm-hmm, yeah. the whole Barbie doll divas, right?
And she well, her, you know, when she was tagged with Natalia.
There. With Natalia. And now all of a sudden you see her. And
the she's Divas like, of Doom.
Exactly. The whole Divas of Doom. Whatever happened to that, right?
Yeah.
And now she's all dolled up herself, wearing makeup.
Wanting to be on Extra.
Yeah, like it's a complete 180 for Beth Phoenix's character, and I personally I don't like that.
Well, maybe you need to do what you need to do to get on the show they call WrestleMania.
She's still not on the show, and she's the Divas Champions. Like
they are completely ignoring that title, I think, on the pay per
view. It's gonna be a dark match. The Divas Championship match might
I don't even think she gets a match.
Really?
No.
That bad, eh?
Now is that a travesty?
I would think so. That's a travesty to your women's belt, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
But it just disgraces that title.
But what would be a better Divas match at WrestleMania? Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly, non-title related, or to have a title match with Beth Phoenix involving someone? Like, what would be a better match at WrestleMania?
For me, I'd say it'd be Beth Phoenix with the title on the line against Karma.
Against Karma, but Karma may not be ready to come back
yet. I know, that's
so the you don't shame. Go that route, right?
That's the shame. But that's the match I would want to see at WrestleMania for a Divas match, definitely.
Even though we're this late into the road to WrestleMania, you'd still want them to put that together? Or would you rather see, at this point, Eve versus Kelly?
Honestly, knowing that
there's only 20 days away.
I don't know. That's a hard question. Honestly, I just think I'd still rather see Beth Phoenix versus Karma rather than a sloppily wrestled Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly match.
Well, I think, for the first time ever, we may actually see Kelly Kelly put Eve Torres over at WrestleMania. Like, I think that they're focusing their efforts away from Kelly and putting it on Eve Torres. I don't think that's a bad thing at this point. Because, you know, 6 months ago, James, we were all sitting here complaining about this push they were giving to Kelly Kelly. It looks like they've smartened up a little bit, and they've decided to go a bit of a different route with the Divas division. Wouldn't you say?
A little bit, yeah.
With going, you know, they're focusing on Eve Torres.
Yeah, they're focusing on Eve Torres, but it just, I don't know. Be nice to have the title in the picture, but as we're seeing, titles don't mean nothing in the WWE these days anymore.
Yeah.
And they had a nice, so after this, they had the whole Did You Know segment. Mm-hmm. In Maxim magazine, they voted Miami the number one party city. So there you go. Another reason to be excited for going down at the end of the month, right?
Yes, absolutely. Now, while you're on the topic of Miami, maybe I should just remind everyone that Smack Talk Radio Live is broadcasting from Miami on WrestleMania weekend.
Woo, 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 you know it.
You know, we're going Friday, Saturday, and possibly Monday. I don't think we're going to be doing a show on WrestleMania Sunday.
If we do, we're still up in the air on the whole schedule of things here, but if we do a show on the day of WrestleMania, it'd probably be early in the morning, so.
If any.
If any, yeah.
Because I got to admit that I probably will want to start drinking around 10 o'clock in the morning, so. I don't know how early you'd want to
10 o'clock in the morning, you'd be drinking the night before.
Yeah, well, I'll just probably continue going on, I think that it would be best to do a show Friday from WrestleMania Access. From Access.
Definitely got to do Access.
And then Saturday from Hall of Fame. And then Monday could be a recap and a review of WrestleMania. And then the preview to Monday Night Raw. Wouldn't you agree that might be the best scenario?
That sounds like a good schedule. But
that's the tentative plan.
It's still all up in the air. But of course, we'll keep you all updated as we go forward.
Yes. Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio for all the latest live broadcast updates. Or, of course, our website, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Now, James, at this point, after we've seen Eve Torres, we go backstage where John Laurinaitis is on the phone, and The Miz is actually trying to talk to John, but John's acting like he's way too busy to talk as he's acting busy on his cell phone. He actually, as The Miz is talking to him, he doesn't even lower the cell phone from his ear, and The Miz asks, when is he going to make him a member of Team John Laurinaitis? And Laurinaitis says that he will call Frank back on the phone, kind of being a little aggravated at this point. he looks aggravated that The Miz is interrupting his phone call. And it's at this point that The Miz introduces a fellow cast member from the TV show Psych. His name is James Roday. And at some point, James says, you know, James is trying to be a funny guy on this show.
Right away, I'm going, man, this guy is a fail from the start.
Really? I didn't think he was too bad. Oh. Out of all the celebrity hosts, I thought he had somewhat.
I thought he was trying way too hard.
Well, he says in the conversation with John Laurinaitis that he wants to get slapped around from Alicia Fox. I don't know. Did you catch that?
Have fun with that, buddy.
Yeah. And John Laurinaitis then says to The Miz, you know, it's simple. Miz, tonight you have a match. You win, you're in. Speaking in terms of if he wins, he will be put on John Laurinaitis' team at WrestleMania.
Well, he wants to do something at WrestleMania.
Miz asks who his opponent is, and John replies with the WWE champion CM Punk. And oh, by the way, Miz, don't let me down tonight.
Oh, so he's got a match with the champion later on tonight.
And as we head into commercial break after this promo, it is announced that Brodus Clay is in the house.
Finally, after, what, 6-7 weeks of not being on TV?
Now, after commercial break, we are shown Jinder Mahal standing in the ring. And Brodus Clay makes his entrance wearing his white tracksuit. And this would set up Brodus Clay versus who else? Jinder Mahal.
So this is the first match that we've seen Brodus Clay on TV wrestle since, I think it was the Royal Rumble, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so.
The Royal Rumble, I think, was the last time he was on TV. Anyways, this was another quick squash match by Brodus Clay. Jinder Mahal would start off by kicking Clay from behind. Clay would then take control with a monstrous headbutt. He'd then hit a belly-to-belly toss. He hit a belly-to-belly toss. Then he'd follow up with a splash off the ropes. So instead of doing the cross body off the ropes, now he's doing a body splash off the ropes.
Yeah, the running cross body.
The running cross body, that's right. So now he's doing the body splash off the ropes for his finish, I guess.
Now, what do you think about Brodus Clay coming back 20 days before WrestleMania?
It's going to be interesting to see where they slot him in the show, if he makes the show at all. Maybe he'll be a dark match.
Well, I would think that the only reason they brought him back tonight is because they are going to slot him in somewhere. Why else would you bring a guy who's trying to make an impression on the universe, on the WWE universe, who's still brand new to the scene? Why would you introduce him 20 days before WrestleMania, where TV time is at an all-time limitation, because they're dedicating a lot of time to The Rock and Cena, to Punk and Jericho, to
this match only had 25 seconds. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, his entrance was longer than the match was.
I'm just saying, though.
Like, no, I know what you're saying.
You kept him off TV for this long, so obviously there's a reason why you're bringing him back.
Maybe Brodus Clay is the surprise that Miz faces at the WrestleMania.
It's possible.
Right? Miz comes out, cuts his promo, and then Brodus Clay comes out. And maybe Brodus Clay has an actual match and doesn't just squash somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe him and Miz actually go a few minutes.
Or maybe he actually does squash the Miz.
That's another, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's a possible prediction right there. Miz versus Brodus Clay. I mean, I can't see why else they would have brought him back. I'm not buying the whole Vince McMahon didn't think he was safe in the ring. I'm not buying that, because this guy has been in developmental for a very long time.
I think he's good in the ring. I don't understand how...
I don't buy that rumor.
How they said that he's dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not buying that rumor. I think this is just a matter of there's just not enough TV time to dedicate to this guy to really, put the honest effort in that Vince wants to put in with Brodus Clay. So he figured, well, it's just best to keep him off television until after WrestleMania. But maybe he realized that his talent pool isn't as deep as he originally thought, mm-hmm. and he needs Brodus for the pay-per-view.
And maybe it's just something that nobody knows about that happened backstage, or
yeah,
there's something that went on. Who knows?
So are you happy to see him back then?
I am. I like Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
I'd still rather see him as the monster heel that we were originally supposed to be given. But I mean, I don't mind this gimmick, actually. It's starting to warm on me, and it's
mm-hmm. right.
a catchy theme song.
Okay. Now, before we head into commercial break, we are shown HBK walking backstage. And when we come back from commercial break, it's Machine Gun Kelly sitting in the front row. These are the guys that make that sign, one of these songs at WrestleMania.
He's like a good friend of John Cena's.
All right.
And apparently the rumor is that John Cena is actually going to come out to this Invincible song
okay.
when he wrestles The Rock at WrestleMania. So
I see.
The rumor, though.
Now, HBK's music hits. He walks out. He's wearing his Under Armour t-shirt. Because he's endorsed by Under Armour now.
So what is this whole Under Armour thing? Give me a quick...
Well, Under Armour is just athletic wear.
Athletic? Okay.
It's just, you know, it's like Lululemon, but it's for sport. You know, it's for athletic people, right?
I see.
It's just really comfortable. But yeah, they sign an endorsement deal with HBK. So, First time we've ever seen HBK actually sporting the new gear.
Oh, good for him.
Now, he says, when he gets in the ring with the microphone, he says, in 3 weeks, Triple H and The Undertaker, they'll be locked inside Hell in a Cell, and it truly will be the end of an era. Last week, he had told his good buddy, Triple H, that he'd be the special guest referee for the match at WrestleMania, and that as far as he knew, Triple H wasn't aware of that until that point. HBK also got some info that he wasn't aware of, and then they show a clip of Triple H last Monday saying that he was tired of seeing or hearing everyone call Shawn a loser, and that he was tired of not being, of hearing, sorry, he was tired of not being, I'm going to start this again. Triple H said that he was tired of hearing everyone call Shawn a loser,
yes,
and not being able to do what Shawn couldn't do. HBK then says, after watching this video from what happened last week, mm-hmm, says, no one that has walked up to me has ever called me a failure, and no one has implied that he couldn't get the job done. He will admit, though, one person has been absent the last couple weeks, but thankfully he's here tonight and we can get it out of the way. Taker's gong hits and out walks the man wearing his hood over his head. I'm speaking, of course, about The Undertaker.
I thought that they were going to maybe reveal the chrome dome on Undertaker tonight, but
we did not see the hairdo.
Did not see the chrome dome tonight.
Now, is this a mistake?
What's a mistake? Not revealing the chrome dome or just having the chrome dome?
Because it looks like they're going to save the Undertaker's hairdo for WrestleMania. Now, you're just going to, I think you're going to shock the audience so much that they're not going to know if they should cheer for the guy who looks completely different than what they've been used to.
I don't think having no hair is going to affect the fan reaction to him whatsoever. No.
Well, they're sure hyping it up.
It's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, you've never seen Undertaker with no hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
now when HBK and The Undertaker are finally standing, face-to-face in the ring, HBK says, after everything we've been through, Taker, the last 20-plus years, we've always had the utmost respect for each other. And let's face it, the last few years of my career, we shared something most men don't share, something people will remember for all time. But you, of all people, to say things behind my back, I thought you, of all people, would have the guts to say it to my face. Taker then says that, Shawn, what is it that you want me to say? That you're a failure? A loser? Or is it that you couldn't get the job done? And he says, you need to let go of your insecurities. HBK cuts him off and says, my insecurities? How about yours? You still have something to prove at 19-0, and that's because Triple H last year beat you within an inch of your life. Taker says that whatever happens at WrestleMania, he's prepared to accept the outcome. But up until now, everything has been destiny, and on April 21st, it will be the end of an era.
Yeah, right away, I'm going, April 21st? I'm looking at my calendar. That's a Saturday.
A complete botch job by The Undertaker here. Man. Now, did The Undertaker not look ridiculously nervous for this?
He did. He did not look like normal. Well, I can't say normal, but he didn't look like the calm, cool, collected Undertaker that we're all used to seeing in these situations. He did. He looked rather shaken up, and I thought that was
now like odd. The Rock and John Cena, with The Rock being shook up. Is this done on purpose with The Undertaker?
No, this is not done on purpose.
This is just.
Do you think it's done on purpose?
No, I think this is just the fact that Undertaker disappeared from the wrestling world for a year, and it's what you call ring rust. And
but it's not like the guy is green or nothing. He's been doing it for the last 20 years.
Either way, he did not look good here.
No, he didn't look good at all. I thought the whole promo was the whole. Well, yeah, promo segment, whatever you want to call it. I thought it was rather weak myself.
Yeah, I really don't know what they were accomplishing with this segment. And I just, in the end, I just felt that...
The whole point was basically Undertaker saying, don't screw me in my match. And if you do, I'll kick your ass.
Yes, because he actually does say, if the outcome isn't pure, he does promise HBK there will be hell to pay. Shawn follows that up with, you call it destiny, I call it irony. Because the guy's career that you ended could quite possibly be the guy who counts your shoulders to the mat. I'm the guy who could turn you into a loser, a failure, and show you that you couldn't get it done. You could still be the guy, or HBK could still be the guy to end the streak. And it's at this point that Undertaker grabs HBK's arm and says...
As he's trying to leave the ring.
Yes. I will beat Triple H in the cell. The streak will continue, and he will officially end an era. But if HBK doesn't do the right thing, he will officially end him.
Hmm. Well, no, yeah, there you have it. I mean, that was the whole point of the segment was basically don't screw me in my match or I'm going to get you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just thought the whole thing could have been better. It wasn't as, it wasn't as exciting as last week in the go-between between, Triple H and Shawn, but...
Early prediction time. Does Shawn Michaels screw Undertaker at WrestleMania?
I think he'll try to, but I think in the end, Undertaker's streak will remain intact.
Mm-hmm. Possibly setting up Triple H versus Michaels for next year.
Yeah, I think it'll be a reluctant count, but...
Yeah, fair enough. Now, as HBK is backing up, almost thinking about giving The Undertaker the super kick, he actually just kind of walks by The Undertaker and he pats his arm, kind of like what Triple H and Undertaker have done to each other in recent weeks. And as HBK makes his way up the entrance ramp to head to the back, Triple H walks out in his suit and he stands beside and looks at Shawn, who eventually does walk to the back. He then stops and stares at The Undertaker from the entranceway, has this weird smile on his face, and then he delivers the crotch chop to The Undertaker.
The DX crotch chop, yeah.
As his music hits and he walks to the back.
I don't know. I didn't like that. I would have liked to have at least seen Triple H say something. I hate when they just come out and they stand there and then go to the back and then their theme music plays as they basically walk out and then walk to the back again. I don't know.
Weakest segment for this program.
By far. Definitely by far. I agree with you there.
And I cannot believe The Undertaker is screwing up the date of WrestleMania. April 21st, he says.
That's the biggest thing there, is he botched the date.
Oh.
And there's no way to go back and fix that.
No, well, you'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if the editing department does somehow fix that.
On the later showing?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to see,
Not on the later showing, like in future music videos, when you see the build-up for the match. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe they'll just avoid that line altogether.
But I mean, tonight, there's just no way to fix that.
That's just a bad botch by the Taker.
Complete, yeah. Dropping the ball there on the date, but
maybe he's just getting so old and he can't even deliver lines properly anymore that it is the end of an era.
Maybe that's when his vacation to Maui starts, and that's what he was thinking about.
Maybe
April 21st, I'll be in Maui. Oops. April 1st.
What made the segment even more awkward was that after the Triple H's music hit as he walks to the back, we go to a graphic advertising CM Punk versus The Miz. But there were no commentators as we head into commercial break.
What happened there? There was absolutely no announcers. It was just complete silence for...
Technical audio...
For a good minute and a half, and then they went to break.
Audio difficulties. It's just the whole segment was awkward, and that did not add to it as they ended. So,
no.
Bad move by the television people there. Now, after commercial break, Justin Roberts announces James Rodé as the special guest announcer. And he introduces... Once he gets in the ring, James introduces Cleveland's own, The Miz, and he walks out wearing his new shirt. He then announces CM Punk, who walks out, and it's during his entrance that they show Y2J Chris Jericho standing in the back watching on a monitor, and this would set up CM Punk versus The Miz.
Well, The Miz got a pretty good reaction from his hometown crowd coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the match would start out with Miz going for an early roll-up attempt, but of course Punk would kick out and then gain control with kicks. Then they'd cut to commercial, and then coming back from the commercial, we'd have CM Punk locked into an abdominal stretch, but Punk would then fight out of that and then kick Miz in the head. This would set up a top rope clothesline, like a springboard top rope clothesline by CM Punk. He'd follow that up with a neck breaker, and then after the neck breaker, he'd toss Miz into the corner. He'd hit the high knee into the bulldog, and then he'd call for the GTS, pick Miz up onto his shoulders, but Miz would then block it. Miz would get drop kicked then for a two count, and it was at this point where Miz kind of started to take control of the match. Punk would then be tossed into the corner. Miz would hit that DDT that he does from his knees. I love that DDT.
Yes.
It just looks, I don't know, just the way he does it looks sick. Anyways, that was a two count on Punk there. But the finale of the match would come when Miz would actually climb up to the top rope. I think he was going for like a double axe handle or something. But anyways, Punk would duck it. Punk would then go for the GTS, pick him up onto his shoulders, but Miz would then reverse that into an attempted skull-crushing finale, but then another reversal by Punk into an anaconda vice, and Miz was struggling, had his foot outstretched, going for the rope, but unfortunately wasn't enough, and Miz ended up tapping out, so CM Punk is your winner after, I think, about a six-minute match.
And The Miz not being granted access to...
No.
You know, he's not being allowed to be on John Laurinaitis' team.
Yeah, he failed his objective.
Now, here's a question. The Miz has been losing week after week after week. He had an opportunity tonight to secure his spot on the WrestleMania card. He failed to do so. Do you agree with the notion that The Miz should get a match at WrestleMania, or should this guy be left off the show?
No, he should get a match at WrestleMania for sure. But it'll be, they're going to play up this whole thing where he doesn't have a match all the way up to the night of the show. And then, like I just was saying earlier, I think he'll probably come out, cut a promo, and then somebody will come out. Maybe Brodus Clay, maybe
Nick Foley. It'll be an impromptu match.
It will be an impromptu match. Hmm.
Do you think it would be disrespectful to give him a dark match at WrestleMania?
I wouldn't say disrespectful, but I really don't see them doing that to The Miz. Right. I mean, they just plugged him being on this show.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not going to keep...
Yeah, but you plug him being on the show, psych, and then you have him tap out after you plug it.
I don't know what you do there, but...
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to keep somebody who is just on a TV show that they're plugging on Raw. They're going to keep him off the WrestleMania card. He's going to be on the card somewhere, somehow.
I like the idea of Miz versus Brodus Clay. I think that's a good early prediction.
I could see that happening, right? He just comes out, cuts a promo, and then all of a sudden, boom, Brodus Clay's music hits, mm-hmm. and maybe he squashes Miz, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
I'd actually like to see Brodus work for a few minutes
yeah.
rather than just squash somebody in 30 seconds.
Wouldn't it be funny if, you know, The Miz comes out and says he should have a WrestleMania match, and then he calls out anyone from the back, it's Brodus Clay that answers, but Brodus Clay does squash him. Like, that would be, that's not far-fetched.
No, I'm not saying that's out of the realm of possibility at all.
Yeah. Just weird, though.
It is, you know.
The downfall of The Miz is just hard to speak of, isn't it?
Well, it's...
And it's hard to understand.
It is. I don't know how...
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't profess to be a wrestling expert or an analyst, that's what I'm looking for,
yeah.
of any sort, so I don't
know.
You gotta
be able to say the word before you can actually become one.
Exactly. If I can't even say the word, I'm definitely not one, so...
Well, what was more interesting about the CM Punk and Miz match tonight was the fact that Chris Jericho, after the match was over, he appeared on the Titantron, and he's clapping for CM Punk's victory over The Miz. And Y2J at this point calls CM Punk a fraud because after doing some research, he found some dirt on Punk. He says that, you know, Punk calls himself straight edge and he's done so for years. And he wants to know why, because he found out that CM Punk's father was an alcoholic and one that let him down in every step of the way. And that alcohol, that's in Punk's genes. It's in his blood. And he says that Punk will drink alcohol eventually and that Y2J will be the one to make him drink it. He's going to take the title away from him at WrestleMania, and then CM Punk will hit rock bottom, and he'll want to take a drink. Chris Jericho will be recognized after WrestleMania as the undisputed champion and the official best in the world, and that Punk will be recognized for what his father was, a pathetic damn drunk. Now, CM Punk, after listening to what Chris Jericho said, he'd exit the ring slowly, clearly bothered by what he had heard.
I don't buy this whole thing at all. Number one, I thought it was classless to bring, you know, any kind of dirt like that with an issue such as alcoholism, which is a very serious issue. I'm pretty sure it is true.
I'm not saying it's not true.
I'm just saying it's classless to bring something like alcoholism into the feud like that. Almost kind of the way that, remember when Michael Cole was bringing Jerry Lawler's mom into it? It was just something, it's just classless way to
after his mom had died.
After his mom had died. Exactly. It's just, I don't know. I found it very classless, and I really don't think that CM Punk losing to Chris Jericho is going to drive him to alcoholism.
Cements Jericho as the heel for sure.
Oh, definitely cements him as the heel.
Yeah.
Oh, he got amazing heel reaction after that. Yeah. But It wasn't believable to me because I'm not sitting here believing that CM Punk is all of a sudden going to just forego his straight edge lifestyle and all of a sudden turn to alcoholism.
But it does make you think,
because he loses to Chris Jericho at
WrestleMania. But it does make you think that this is something they could run with after WrestleMania, meaning that, you know, this has got to put the thought in the back of your mind that maybe Jericho does take this match at WrestleMania. And maybe he does drive to CM Punk into this rock bottom type gimmick where you see CM Punk drinking and doing drugs or whatever.
No, I could not see that. Because the whole straight edge part of CM Punk's persona is such an essential part of his character that I really... It'd be like,
but they could really run with that.
I don't.
That could drag out for months.
I wouldn't want to see that.
No?
No. That wouldn't be something I'd want to see. It's just, I don't know.
Could see him eventually crawl back out of that
hole. It's something, you know, substance abuse and alcohol abuse, that's something that's very, don't know, it's very touchy to kind of...
This is the WWE, though.
Yeah, it is. It's touchy subjects, though. It's very...
So you didn't like what you saw that...
I don't know.
You don't think really, that it brought that personal...
I mean, that's obviously...
Emotion into this match?
No, I know that's what they were trying to go for, but I thought maybe they could have done it a different way rather than dragging, you know, like a real-life past issue.
Well, Punk obviously with agreed substance to this. Abuse.
Oh, of course. So, but I don't know.
It can't be that soft of a subject for him.
I don't know. I thought there could have been a better way. I didn't like it.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, after a commercial break, we see a little promo-type video advertising David Otunga's law office. Now, James, if you've been in a car accident, don't be afraid to contact the law offices of Otunga and get the compensation you deserve. And remember to add Otunga on Twitter.
Right away, I'm thinking, where was this guy 12 years ago when Stone Cold Steve Austin needed him?
Yeah. You know what? I actually really like what they did here. I think this could open up a very good gimmick for
him. I thought that was hilarious.
Just a quick 15-second little graphic promoting the law offices of David Otunga. I think that's a great idea. And I think after WrestleMania is over, they should clearly run with this and really push Otunga with this.
I could see a push coming for Otunga after WrestleMania, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We'll leave that one alone for now, though, because it's brand new.
It is.
Yeah.
It's touch and go.
Now, Randy Orton's music hits. He walks out. Jack Swagger, he's already in the ring. He doesn't even get an entrance. You know what that means. And this would set up
Jack. Running short for time.
This would set up Jack Swagger versus Randy Orton.
So, yeah, this started out essentially with a video package from SmackDown 2 weeks ago and Raw last week, because this program has had such little buildup that they basically got to walk you through it step by step so you remember what's going on. I mean,
they literally showed every single moment of the program so far in this highlight reel.
It just screams of being slapped together at the last second, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a shame, too, because, I mean, Randy Orton has had such a great 2011, and this is his reward, is being slapped into a match that I think is going to be poor against Kane.
But, like I've said before, I find Randy Orton to be boring these days. So he hasn't done anything that stands out to me that really I'm going to be interested in at WrestleMania regardless. So I'm fine with him being pushed down.
Do you mean like his character is stale, kind of?
Yes. I think Randy Orton is stale at this point. He needs a serious boost, whether it's with his gimmick, whether it's he's working.
What about turning him back to a heel again?
I think that they should really run with Randy Orton beating up legends. I thought they started that, or they stopped that program of him, you know, permanently injuring old WWE superstars. Mm-hmm. I thought they ended that program way too early with him.
Really?
I thought that was a great gimmick for him to work for a while.
See, I disagree. I thought that was the perfect time they should have moved forward with that.
I just am so bored with Randy Orton that I am totally fine with him being shoved down the card at WrestleMania.
Are you?
Yep. And if he has to just take on Kane in a 7-8 minute match, fine by me.
Right. So anyways, yeah, we're talking about Randy Orton and Jack Swagger. First of all, I got to ask you, are you feeling the new bouffant on Jack Swagger?
Yes, I am.
I'm loving that new hairdo, man. That's like some William Riker style hairdo he's got going on.
It works. It works. A hairstyle change that actually works.
So the match
Not like Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, wearing the pink t-shirt.
No, I was talking about when Ziggler dyed his hair brown.
Oh, yeah, that was cut it short. That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the match would start, and Swagger would start with the wrestling takedowns on Randy Orton, but Orton would turn it around and gain control, stomping on Swagger as Vicky would be yelling from the outside. Randy Orton would then hit a dropkick on Swagger, throw him out to the floor, and it was at this point that Orton would then whip Jack Swagger into the steel steps, start ramming his head onto the announcer's table, and then he'd roll him back into the ring as they headed to a commercial break. Seems like that every match they had tonight, they had to cut to a commercial break in the middle of a match.
It's the way of the future, my friend.
Jeez. So anyways, back from the match, and Swagger and Orton are again going back and forth. Swagger would then hit a big boot, and then he would take out Orton's knee for a two count. Swagger would then start working on Orton's leg with the couple of different leg locks. Swagger at this point would then pick up Orton and scoop slam him. He would go for the Swagger bomb in the corner. You know that one where he leaps into the, off the corner, old Vader style, I guess. But Orton would then roll out of the way. Swagger then would actually get the ankle lock onto Orton, but Orton would reverse it by turning around, kicking him off him. Orton would then dump Swagger to the apron. And it was at this point that they did a really cool spot, Corey, where he actually pulled Swagger up the corner turnbuckles from the inside of the ring up to the top, and then he'd hit a superplex off the top.
Wow.
I thought it was kind of cool. I'd never seen that before. We actually like pulled the guy up the turnbuckles from the apron. So
yeah, that is interesting.
No, I thought that was kind of cool. It was at this point that it started becoming textbook for Randy Orton. I mean, he'd hit a couple clotheslines. He'd then hit his power slam. He'd then, of course, go for his second rope DDT that he does all the time. He'd then hit his RKO for the clean win at about 9-10 minutes, I guess.
And after Randy Orton wins, the ring posts explode with fire. The lights turn red, but no Kane to be found. Randy Orton was waiting mind for games. Kane to make his. Yes, that's
Kane,
right.
Kane playing mind games this week.
Well, we are 20 days away. The mind games have got to start sometime. Now, we...
So, Vicky Guerrero's team, just to stop you for a second here, Vicky Guerrero's clientele not having a good night tonight, eh?
No, definitely not.
Two clean losses.
I'm sure she'll forget all about that when she tells us, excuse me, next week on Raw.
What is this hatred that Vicky Guerrero has for bras? Have you noticed that?
I'm totally fine with that. Now, it's announced next week that it's an end of an era prediction, and that's going to involve HBK... I guess making his prediction official on who he thinks is going to win. I'm guessing that's where they're going with this.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
I think
it
so.
It was kind of vague the way they announced it.
And they also announced it'll be Mark Henry versus John Cena next week on Monday Night Raw. That's interesting. I don't know where Mark Henry plays into all of this.
Didn't we just see this match back in December?
Yes. Yeah, well, so. December, though. That's eternity.
Oh, yeah, I forgot already.
Now we get to the main segment of the night. This would be The Rock, you know, his big rock concert that he's promised in Cleveland,
Ohio.
Yep. His music hits. He walks out with a guitar in hand. He actually does look pretty serious as he walks out. And he grabs
good crowd reaction.
Of course. He grabs a microphone and says, "Tonight, the people of Cleveland, they've broken a record. It's the largest sellout in the history of the WWE in Cleveland tonight." So I guess that means... the WWE have never had or sold more tickets than they have tonight there. And he then points to his arm, which has goosebumps on it. And he says, "I appreciate you cheering Rocky, but really you should be chanting Cleveland." We get a Cleveland chant at this spot, at this point.
He can just make them chant whatever that he wants.
No kidding.
Isn't that just like crazy power?
Yeah. And anyway, he says, "Speaking of the sellout crowd, did anyone see my boy Marky Mark?" You know, referencing the word sellout. He says, "Did anyone see my boy Marky Mark? I mean John Cena around here tonight?" And he says, "Earlier tonight, that wasn't John Cena. For the last 8 years, what we know John Cena to be, it would be looking like what if Vanilla Ice had banged a Teletubby." Teletubby, is it? I think it's Teletubby.
Yes, it's a Teletubby, and I thought that was hilarious. The video package that he, or the video picture that he pulled up. That,
yes, he shows a graphic on the Titantron of Vanilla Ice plus a Teletubby equaling John Cena.
The best part, though, was Vanilla Ice. He had, like, his hand in the same, like, "you can't see me" pose as John Cena did. And oh, it was good. It was very good.
I didn't think it was that good.
I liked it.
Yeah. He says, "Tonight, it's about something special, not about some two-minute rap, because everyone knows Cleveland rocks." And The Rock starts singing with a guitar. He's got a podium with lyrics in front of him. I didn't like that part about it, but that's okay. I can understand why. He actually did sing quite a bit tonight. This segment did really go for a long time.
The runover was like 20 minutes tonight. It was crazy.
Now, I'm not going to get into exactly all that he sang, but the chorus basically would say, you know, "Let's rock, Cleveland, let's rock." That was the chorus, right?
No, he's basically playing a rendition of Jailhouse Rock, the old Elvis Presley song.
Yes.
And the chorus was, "Everybody dance because Cleveland rocks." That was...
Now, some of the lyrics, you know, say, "Ain't no balls in Cena's jock because we're dancing because Cleveland rocks." He also, he stops the song. He takes a sip of water. He asks the crowd if he wants to hear a true story. He says that he has an inside story from Cena's doctor. And in this story, he talks about John Cena begging for a rectal exam. He asks the crowd if he wants to hear some true story gossip he has about John Cena. And it's also regarding Eve Torres. And he brings up the fact that Eve kissed Cena. And I guess no one told her that Cena had a wife. It slipped John Cena's mind while he slipped Eve the tongue. Which I think is great, because this whole time I was wondering, you know, when Eve Torres had kissed John, why did no one make reference to his wife?
I know, nobody... I don't know. Nobody
so finally, The Rock brings
finally
that up.
Finally, somebody put two and two together here.
Yeah, so I like that part. Now, he also brings up when John Cena was born. He said the doctor said that John Cena has lady parts. That's what he... I don't know. The Rock asks the crowd if there are any grown men here who are true John Cena fans. He does see a couple in the crowd. Rock says he won't mess with them. It's hard enough being them already. But then he kind of changes his tune and he asks the crowd if he should mess with them. The crowd cheers and The Rock says that he has a song about them. And in this song, he says a lyric such as, "You're a walking virgin and you're 42 years old. You dress like Kirk and Spock, but we're dancing because Cleveland rocks." And then The Rock asks where the ladies are at in the house tonight. And he says that he loves the ladies, but there's a special lady he wants to sing a song to. And The Rock will also sing. The Rock will also see her later tonight. And this song, or this verse of the song, is actually about John Cena's mom. And then the most interesting part of the night happens here, James, because he says there's only one way to end this night, and that's with a rock concert. There's one song, and this time it's for the people. It's for Team Bring It. This song is for the millions and millions of The Rock's fans. But most importantly, this is Cleveland's song. And it's when We Will Rock You starts.
Queens, yeah, it's Queens, mm-hmm. the old familiar boom, boom anthem from Queens' We Will Rock You song hits. And
now he's singing the actual song, but at the end of the actual chorus, you know, we will rock you, he tries to get a Cena sucks chant going.
He did.
Which is fine, but more importantly, my God, when he's singing the lyrics to this song, it just ruined everything to me.
It was, number one, he started at the wrong point. Like, you could tell he was racing his words to try to catch up to the beat in the song. So, he's already starting off on the wrong foot by beginning the lyrics at the wrong point. So, I don't know if this was him or if he's just, I don't know, maybe the guys in the back doing the the video on, because he's going off the
operating the karaoke Titantron, lyrics. Right? Yeah, because they had the lyrics on this song on the Titantron. And it was almost like a follow the bouncing ball type karaoke style video that they were showing.
And it wasn't really mixing that great with the whole Queen We Will Rock You song. And yeah, it just, I don't know.
I think this completely ruined
Rock. It kind of hurt that end segment a little bit.
Don't you think? I think The Rock should have stopped it right after he started talking, right after he made the verse about John Cena's mom. That was it. End Raw. Do not do this we will rock you thing, because it killed everything that he had said up until that point.
See, I was thinking when he got up and he said there's only one way to end this, I thought he was just going to cut this really hardcore, you know, edgy promo on John Cena. But instead, no, they went into this rendition of Queen's We Will Rock You. And yeah, I thought it took away total momentum from the segment. I mean, I love the stuff he played on the guitar. I know we didn't describe it that well. If you get a chance to look it up on YouTube, it's actually, it was really funny, the stuff they did on the guitar.
I thought him with the guitar was excellent.
But then it just,
I don't do it justice talking about it here, because I didn't go back and write everything down.
It's kind of hard to, of course. Yeah. But like we said, check it out if you get a chance.
Yeah.
But again, the end of the segment just totally took momentum away.
Now, and each week leading up until now, we've been saying, okay, this week it's Cena's week, this week it's Rock's week. After what you saw tonight with John Cena rapping and The Rock singing on the guitar, who are you giving it to this week?
This week I'm probably giving it to The Rock just for the fact that he had the last word, which was by design, of course.
Gotta be.
And I don't know, Cena's rap was good though.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still kind of feeling Cena a little bit ahead in this whole program. Because really, I'm looking at the content that Cena's bringing to his promos, and I'm looking at the content that Rock is bringing to his. The Rock, it's still just insults and catchphrases.
Yeah.
And The Rock, it's like, it's very edgy, it's very, I don't want to say hardcore, but it's very right to the bone, right to real life, right? And The Rock is just very, I don't know, it just seems like he's still playing around.
As I said in past shows, I thought the notes on the wrist was by design as well, to bring The Rock back down to John Cena's level. Maybe this horrible rendition of We Will Rock You was done on purpose as well.
I can't see them making The Rock look bad week after week heading into this thing. It doesn't make sense. Agree with me?
It doesn't make sense. It does make sense in a way if you are trying to split the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Because at this point, everyone knows it's The Rock. You know, it's his hometown of Miami. Maybe they really are trying to split the crowd heading into Miami, and this is by design. You don't know. I can't see The Rock botching it like that. But that being said, I mean, maybe he just is unprepared week in and week out. right? Maybe he's just not giving himself the proper amount of time to prepare.
Well, maybe we should get into it a little bit more on Thursday. What do you think? We're
running
on time here.
We will be back Thursday for another episode of Smack Talk Radio Live. This was SRL on a Monday night. Two different shows, James.
That's right. And tell us what you thought of Raw. Send us an email on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. There's merchandise up for grabs, people.
Mm-hmm. Now, anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think it was an all right Raw. I mean, it wasn't the greatest. There were some good things about it. There were some bad things about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people botching their words and kind of stumbling, but...
www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or on Twitter at SRL Radio. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
And we will be back on Thursday for another episode of Smack Talk Radio Live.